I'm Jeff Booth, and this is The Big Picture here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. Things are worse in the United States than I ever could have imagined. We may well be in the twilight of our days as a democracy. It's going fast. Right now we aren't really much of a democracy because we have a president who does whatever he wants, undeterred by the separation of powers, which, with the help of Bill Barr, he has smashed to pieces. Our entire federal government is corrupt, and we have a president who is profoundly incompetent and profoundly unpopular with the people, but that doesn't bother him. He's made it clear he's not going anywhere. Elections don't really mean anything to him. He has power, and he's going to keep it, and the Republican senators are just fine with that. Basically, what we're looking at is a coup d'etat. And it's not like they're being sneaky about it. They're coming right out and saying it. And remember, everyone who knows Trump says he does not have a sense of humor. So when he says things, he's not trying to be funny. He's just testing things out to see how people will react to them. And he said over and over that he plans to stay after the next election, and he plans to stay beyond the election after that. In other words, permanently, with talk of a Trump dynasty where his children take over forever. What kind of future do the Republicans see? It's a rather brutal one, unless, of course, you're already rich and powerful. But it is also not a democracy. They're happy to let Trump be in charge forever and his offspring forever. They're fine with that, as long as he gives them anything they ask for. Although mostly it seems like they give Trump whatever he asks for. But with the Senate, it has accomplished almost nothing other than put in judges that come from a list from the Federalist Society. Trump has very little to do with these decisions. The Federalist Society makes those decisions. Trump wouldn't know one judge from another. But the real goal for a great many of them is that America become a theocracy underneath a tyrannical dictator. Now, all theocracies are authoritarian regimes by their very nature, and they feel like they've got the perfect authoritarian dictator to keep in place. And I'm not joking about this theocracy thing. That's really a big part of the plan, and we'll find out a lot more about that when we discuss it on Friday's show, Faith Friday. We have some shocking stuff for you. But today we got plenty of shocking stuff as well. The opening on the Supreme Court opens up the possibility of a 6-3 extraordinarily conservative Supreme Court. As conservative probably back in the day with the New Deal, where you had a court that was striking down everything that the progressive president was trying to do to lift the country up out of poverty. We're heading for that type of Supreme Court again, maybe even more controversial, with the intention of completely changing the country as we know it. Now, certainly this is going to be a Thurgood Marshall moment, where one of the greatest Supreme Court justices in history is replaced by one of the worst. And certainly that looks like what's going to happen here. Trump has promised to put a woman in place. So we're going to look at the top two women candidates, and they are terrible. They are both Catholic. And at this point, couldn't we have a moratorium on Catholics on the Supreme Court? We've got Catholics and Jews. Maybe we should have a little more diversity. So the first one is Barbara Lagoa, and she makes a lot of sense from a political standpoint. She's from Florida, where Trump really needs some help, and she's Latina, so that could help there. Looking at her judicial record, it's clear that she's anti-immigrant, not too thrilled about the whole idea of people being able to vote, seems to oppose minimum wage laws, seems to be pretty anti-worker, pro-business, but I don't think she's wacky enough for Trump. And she really doesn't have a strong enough record on being anti-abortion. So my guess, despite all those pluses, my guess is that it's going to be Amy Coney Barrett. She's a terrifying pick out of your worst nightmare. So let's get started. First of all, she describes herself as Catholic, but she's not really Catholic. She's more Catholic in the same way that the Taliban are Muslims, or that Mormon fundamentalists are the same as mainstream Mormons. They're way, way out there from most people, and that's true for her. In fact, she's a member of what many people refer to as a Catholic cult. A cult so bizarre that it was one of the inspirations for The Handmaid's Tale. Yeah, I know that doesn't sound good, but keep in mind that The Handmaid's Tale is a wet dream for a lot of Republicans. The secretive group is called the People of Praise. They are less like Catholics, more like evangelicals or charismatics. Allow me to quote Margaret Atwood. She said she delayed writing the book for about 3 years, I quote her, after I got the idea because I felt it was too crazy. In fact, she delayed it for 3 years. And then she said, what was the impetus for her getting up and writing the book again? Atwood said, then two things happened. I started noticing that a lot of the things I thought I was more or less making up were now happening. And indeed, some of them have happened since the publication of the book. There is a sect now, a Catholic charismatic spin-off sect, which calls the women handmaids. They didn't go in for polygamy of this kind, but they do threaten the handmaids according to the biblical verse I use in the book. Sit down and shut up. Give you a moment while you go change your shorts. So yeah, that ties all into the whole premise that the Republicans want us to become a theocracy because under a theocracy, the people, the little people, the people without power, are much more easily manipulated. Now, I know there are no religious tests for office, but, you know, if a Scientologist was running for office, I'd want to talk about that. And we need to talk about her, because the group she's involved with is scary. They have lifelong loyalty oaths to those Trump their loyalty to the Constitution. They are very secretive, as we said, and they have rigid gender roles that apparently still allow you to become a Supreme Court justice, apparently. And former members have been speaking out against the cult. Coral Annika Thiel was a member for 5 years, and she wrote about her experiences in her memoir titled Banshee, Making Light of the Dark. She experienced shunning, shaming, and a smear campaign when she escaped and left because she was under the control of her husband, who beat her and abused her and tortured her. These are all cult hallmarks. In this cult, men are absolutely in charge of the women. It's a weird-ass cult where your husband is in charge of your life if you're a woman, and then there's somebody else they assign to be in charge of the couple. Everything in your life is controlled, managed for you. She said that the Handmaid's Tale series on Netflix and the documentary The Keepers was familiar territory to her. She referred to it as a Jim Jones cult, which is kind of what I think the entire Republican Party has become. And I could spend the rest of this segment talking about how scary this cult is, but you might want to Google the article written by Amy Goodman, where she interviews Coral Annika Thiel. Now, when we talk about someone who opposes abortion, we can't just look at the surface of it, because that has many different meanings. The vast majority of the anti-abortion movement also opposes contraception. And keep in mind that the same legal reasoning that makes contraception legal is the reasoning that underscored the Roe v. Wade decision. Now, where she stands as a judge on all things is hard to know, because she's only been a judge for 3 years, which is an astonishingly short period of time. And she's very, very young, 48, the youngest Supreme Court nominee ever. As part of the Federalist Society, of course, she is an originalist, which is kind of like interpreting the Bible literally. Sure, you can try to do it, but it just gets you all tangled up in knots. What we do know from her limited judicial record is that she is a conservative's conservative's conservative. She's fine with criminals being allowed to keep their guns. It is clear to anyone paying attention that she would overturn Roe v. Wade in a heartbeat. The question is how much else would go down with it, and have to go down with it. At the University of Notre Dame, where she taught, she was part of the anti-abortion faculty for life. In some of her other cases, she has voted for forcing Indiana to give formal burials in the cases of abortion or miscarriage. She is clearly not going to be a defender of women's rights or the separation of church and state. And while she has criticized the Roe v. Wade decision very strongly, she is also an opponent of Obamacare. So two of the very first decisions to hit the court may be in January, February. We may end abortion in this country. And there is a very good chance that Obamacare is just thrown out wholesale, destroying the entire health insurance industry in this country. Millions will be without health insurance. Many will die for lack of health insurance. But in this new Republican world, there'll be no room for empathy.